رمضان نايتس on البيان راديو.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to our program Ramadan Nights. I'm your host Abu Abd al-Rahman, and I'm pleased to be joined on the 17th night of Ramadan by my dear brother, the Sheikh Khalid Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, the Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you today?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Pleasure to be on, like you said, Sheikh, the 17th night, a great night in history.
Yes, the pleasure is all ours. We'll get to that very soon.
I thought we would, so I thought I'll jump the gun a little bit.
We're past the halfway mark, 17th night, and we'd like to welcome all our listeners on 107.9 FM in Sydney. We will be on 107.9 FM in Sydney, inshallah, until the end of Ramadan. So please spread the word. Tune in into your car radios, 107.9 FM, and listen to Al Bayan 24/7 for the rest of the month, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And for those out of Sydney, you can tune in wherever you are, worldwide, 24/7, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, on the Al Bayan radio app. Barakallah fikum. And also like to welcome all those watching online on Facebook or our YouTube channel. Barakallah fikum. Sheikh, you mentioned the 17th specifically has a special place in history. What do you mean? What are you alluding to?
So I think,
what are you implying?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. The 17th night, as we all know, was the night and the day that the Muslims went to battle against a fierce army who was much larger than them, as we all know, triple their size, not only in number as well of the actual warriors and soldiers, but also in regards to the artillery and the weaponry that they had. And alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He blessed the Muslims in that battle, as Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, and He mentions in the Quran, وَلَقَدَ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّهُ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And indeed, Allah, He gave you victory in Badr, and this is what we're referring to, the great battle of Badr on the second year after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as we said, on the 17th night. And Allah Azza wa Jal specifically mentions when you were as well kind of lower in number and the likes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the believers victory in that battle. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the believers to fear Allah so that they may be grateful. And this is one of the fruits, of course, of taqwa, that it should lead you and aid you to become more grateful. And Allah Azza wa Jal continues the verses, وَإِذْ تَقُولُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And then to the next verse as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention. He says, بَلَا إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَيَأْتُوكُم مِّن فَوْرِهِمْ هَذَا يُمْدِدُكُمْ رَبُّكُم بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوِّمِينَ. And this is a reminder to all the brothers and sisters, wherever they may be, with everything going around in the world as well, that Allah Azza wa Jal can and will aid the believers, but it is up to us to fear Allah, obey Allah, be patient at all times, and the victory of Allah will come, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنصُرُكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. O you who believe, if you give victory to Allah, which is giving victory to His religion, which is performing and completing and fulfilling the obligations, staying away from the prohibitions and the likes, Allah will give you victory. Allah will give you victory, and He will make your feet firm. So anyway, to summarize it all, it was the great battle of Badr, where the kuffar were three times that of the Muslim army. The kuffar were approximately 1,000 and the believers were approximately 313 to 19, wallahu alam. The point is that they were one third in number, and they had much less in respect to their weaponry, in respect to their beasts and their riding and the likes, and Allah Azza wa Jal granted them victory against some of the fiercest warriors that the kuffar had to offer at the time.
Barakallahu fikti, Shaykh. And wallahi, a very important point you mentioned there regarding Badr and the ayat you recited is that if we want victory, we have to implement and live the and means. Rule according to Islam. You know, a lot of times we may be making dua, oh Allah, your aid, your victory, but we're not taking the means to achieve this victory. And one of the means, as you mentioned, is to implement Islam in your life and in with those around you. This is very, very important. Many, many a times, especially what's happening today in Gaza, may Allah aid our brothers and sisters there, Amen. And all Muslims around the world, wherever they are being, you know, oppressed, may Allah aid the oppressed and destroy the oppressors, whoever they may be, no matter what color they are, what nationality they may be. But it's very important for the Muslim here to take the means, the path, to achieve victory. And that is by implementing Islam. As Muslims, we believe without a shadow of a doubt that we only achieve victory, true victory for Islam, by living Islam, implementing Islam, ruling according to the Sharia, according to the Quran and the Sunnah. And we don't want to, you know, because if we go down that track, we're going to have a whole topic about it. But let's take this lesson from Badr, that the Muslims that had the taqwa of Allah, they were living by the Quran, by the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, who was there amongst them, obeying him, living according to that, and Allah gave them victory. If we want victory, we have to take the same means.
And Sheikh, as you said, that's the whole in Tansurullah part. And
that's
which
it.
Also the part and parcel is, as we said, Bala in Tasbiru wa Tattaqu. And so important, brothers and sisters, patience is just as important. It isn't about, 100%. Like we said last lesson or on Monday when I was here with Sheikh Mahmoud, our special guest, and yourself, Sheikh Abu Abdul Rahman, when we mentioned that, you know, you make dua. Khalas, we said the statement of Umar, what's been attributed to Umar radiallahu anhu, that la ahmilu ham al-ijaba, innama ahmilu ham al-du'a. I don't worry about pretty much the outcome, the answer. I worry about being guided to make that du'a, to making the du'a. Same thing, we take the means and that's what we worry about. We know for sure the answer is going to come and we know for sure the victory is going to come. And we all know the verses, yuriduna yutfi'u and liyutfi'u nur Allah. To the end of the verses, they desire to extinguish the light of Allah. But Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept except that He completes His light. So my brothers and sisters, definitely in these battles and in the seerah, as we all know, there is so many great reminders, so many great lessons, so many great steps that we can follow, and victory will be, inshaAllah ta'ala, in the hands of the believers on a global scale, on a communal scale, on a local scale, on an individual scale. It's so important that we remember that, just like you follow what Allah told you to follow and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told you to follow, and you stay away from that which they told you to stay away from, not only are you going to get victory, meaning you as in an individual, you, your family, you, your community, you, your whole, you know, area, your whole country, your whole, etc., to the extent it reaches a global level. But it's on us to do our part, and Allah has promised us if we do our part, then success and victory will be ours in every way possible.
So let's start with ourselves, my dear brothers and sisters. Let's start by doing what Allah wants from us now, and then our families and the wider community. Barakallahu fik di Sheikh for that. Very important to remind our brothers and sisters and ourselves regarding that.
And I think, Sheikh, this has been discussed, I think, multiple times before. So you can, I'm sure, just brothers and sisters, you know, YouTube, Al Bayan Radio, Battle of Badr or something.
Inshallah, we'll put some links in the description.
Inshallah ta'ala. And also we remind the brothers and sisters, the big I'tikaf, Sheikh, coming up.
Yes, Sunday, I think it is, the 20th day, entering the 21st night. For those wanting or wishing to do I'tikaf, which is to seclude oneself in the masjid for the sake of worship this Sunday.
It's a very important time as the brothers and sisters. No, so important that even the women of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the wives, used to enter after his death as well. Subhanallah. So obviously in our day and age, it's a bit maybe difficult facilitate that for many centers. But obviously if you know, that was easily facilitated, you know, yes, we would have been at the forefront of that. Alhamdulillah, the centers, especially ASWJ and others, of course, as well, organizations and the likes. Alhamdulillah, I believe they do a great job facilitating a lot for our sisters as well in our community. Allah Azza wa Jal bless those organizations. Amen. And make it easier for them to facilitate more. And that's on a side note as well, for I think everybody to appreciate the effort, because I think there's a lot of background work that a lot of people don't see regarding the organizations and the centers in Ramadan, that a lot of background work that gets put in that many don't see. So Allah Azza wa Jal bless those organizations, those du'at, the mashaykh, the reciters, the brothers, even the brothers in administration, the tech men, the
everyone.
Everyone involved.
Those who wish to remain anonymous,
exactly,
unknown,
of course, and the sponsors,
Allah
of course, as well, and
sponsors.
Either we can keep like naming, yes, the people who put comments on the
Allah knows who they are, and you will be rewarded if you're sincere. May Allah accept all our actions and forgive us for our shortcomings.
And Sheikh, going on to that topic, that's going to actually be our first topic for the expiators.
Let's get back into it.
Expiators
part five
series that we began, part five, that we began, as we said, just a quick 30 seconds. We started this topic by saying one of the greatest reasons that we look forward to Ramadan is because of all the virtues of Ramadan. And one of those virtues is having our sins forgiven. And this is our next point. I thought going into the last 10 nights, we'll put this. And we did say at the start that there's no real order which we've maintained in this series. So we said going into the last 10 nights, so it's suitable to begin with this as our first expiator tonight. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, man qama laylat al-qadr imanan wa ihtisaba ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. that whoever establishes prayers on the night of Al-Qadr, and Al-Qadr, the ulama obviously differed and put forth many reasons as to why it was called the night of Al-Qadr, and that's why we hear often that the translations can be the night of decree, the night of status, the night of power, the night of honor, and all of them inshallah are all correct. The point is that whoever establishes prayers on this night, the night of decree, Laylatul Qadr, out of sincere faith and hoping for a reward from Allah, then all of his previous sins will be forgiven. So going into these last 10 nights, brothers and sisters, I advise, treat every night as if it is Laylatul Qadr. Treat every night as if it is
Laylatul
Qadr. You won't miss. And it's 10 nights, really. What is it, subhanAllah? And even if one can take off work, that'll be ideal, of course. And if you can't, then, you know, who cares? Just try your best, utmost best, to do as much as you can in the night. And this is what the Sahaba were worried about. You know, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she's the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And out of all things she can ask, you know, what does she ask? She says, Ya Rasulullah, if I know which night is Laylatul Qadr, what should I say? You know, look what she's worried about. And this is our mother, subhanAllah. And this is also a side advice to all the sisters, that if, for example, you have your monthly cycle, or for whatever reason you're not able to, you know, enter the masajid for night prayer, if that's not what you wanted to do, and we know the best place to pray for the lady is in her house. The point is that, you know, say there was something that prevented you from praying and things like this, then you can take the advice of Aisha radiallahu anha and make this dua and other ad'iya. But before we mention it, we'll give the viewers, inshallah, a chance to say the dua,
yes,
that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he answered Aisha.
So what is it, dear brothers and sisters?
Something which is on our tongues, I think.
Contribute
often.
Let us know feedback on our Facebook, YouTube, WhatsApp. The number will pop up. What dua did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam teach or encourage Aisha to say if she happens to catch this night, the night of Laylatul Qadr? So let us know. And since we're talking about Laylatul Qadr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would awaken his family to stay the night. And as the ulama have mentioned, that it's generally better to sleep at night throughout the whole year, except the last 10 days to stay up and sleep during the day. Which brings me to this, if our team can zoom in on this mug here.
The support.
This mug. The brother, or brothers, they wish to remain anonymous. They bring me a coffee almost every night, Allahumma barik, and a different mug. Normally we have the highlighter green mug, and tonight we have something which caught my eye, this yellow mug. What do you think, Sheikh Khalid?
Yeah, I actually, I like it a lot.
Looks heavy duty, huh?
Very heavy duty.
You can fit a quadruple shot in there.
I reckon easy.
Quadruple, maybe. I think there's a double shot, isn't there? It's a double shot piccolo with half a sugar. No sugar today.
Maybe for the last 10, the brothers might need to add an extra shot in there.
Okay, just so you know, I've got a bit of a coffee problem. This is my third coffee since iftar. So, and they're all doubles.
So
all double
we're
shots.
Talking 2.5 hours. So, yeah. Don't forget the tarawih was done.
So we broke our iftar 3 hours ago, and here we are.
Don't forget the tarawih was done, isha was done, and the witr was done. So outside of the prayer, you probably had Sheikh about, what is it? How many shots again?
This is probably the sixth now.
The sixth shot in about probably an hour outside of the prayer.
and just so our viewers know, inshallah, in a few days, we got a surprise. It's reached like the public out there that, about our coffee. So got a bit of a surprise for the listeners coming up. They'll see it. And we're not going to say nothing until it comes in.
And they can comment what it is.
And it has to do with coffee. So subhanAllah, we're stepping up. We're moving up. So people are finding out about our coffee problem. So the question the Sheikh posed for our feed, I can't even put it anywhere. I just got to put it here. For feedback question tonight is, or the quiz tonight is, what dua did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach Aisha to say if she happens to catch Laylatul Qadr? And I think we have our first feedback for tonight. Mila, I'm not going to have him pronouncing it. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhubbul afwa fa'afu anni.
Very
is
good.
That right, Sheikh?
That's definitely correct. And the dua, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni, that is the correct answer. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, before we mention just the quick translation, Ibn Kathir mentions about this dua. He says, it is mustahab, it is recommended to make a great deal of dua at all times, and more so in Ramadan, especially in the last 10 days and on the odd numbered nights, and it is mustahab to recite this dua. Then he mentions the dua, which is, oh Allah, you are all forgiving or all pardoning, and you love to pardon, so pardon,
Sheikh,
so pardon us.
What's going on here, Sheikh? This is just so the viewers can get a, you know, inside look here.
The way we get,
you know,
spoiled.
For the brothers and sisters who don't know, most of you know that Al-Bayan Radio is at the back of Masjid Al-Azhar, downstairs. behind the sisters section. And upstairs I have the kaak happening, and we just got a kaak delivery. So coffee delivery, kaak delivery. Allah alam, what's next? Let's, you know, I know it's popular online. I know it's popular online, but I'm not gonna test the taste test.
You can taste the texture.
Oh, no, I'm not gonna do that. I'll just show the viewer. Saad. Boy, brothers inside. Saad is one of the brothers who actually makes the kaak. I don't know what's where his name came out. Here you go. What do you reckon out of 10, Sheikh?
Wallah,
pretty good. It needs to be a bit burnt. Like,
I think look on the other side.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They've done well.
At the end of the day, I think everything's good. Alhamdulillah.
Go. Oh, pretty good.
Alhamdulillah.
Mubarak.
It's a great ni'mah, wallah, for us to be having this. Wallahi, alhamdulillah. We thank Allah Azza wa Jal.
Of course.
You know, for everything that
Allah bless the brothers. And Ameen. We thank Allah for all this. And Sheikh will dig in after the lesson.
It probably won't last long.
I've been
a bit sick the last few days, so Allah, I don't know if this is going to be good for it, but I think we'll still give it a go. But on a more serious note, as always, brothers and sisters, we thank Allah Azza wa Jal for 100%. All the blessings He's giving us. He's given us as small as we might perceive it, because of how accustomed we've become to it. Subhanallah, we got to remember everything happening all around the world.
100%.
And this is a great ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal, which takes me to another point. And we know the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he used to, if he did not like something, he would not criticize it. He would just put it to the side and not eat it, pretty much. And when he liked it, he would show he liked it as well, praising it and the likes. So going back to that point, Sheikh, as well, Ibn Kathir, as we said, mentioned that this is mustahab.
Yes.
To mention subhanallah in the last 10 nights, and on a more general note, to make dua at all times. Moving on to the next point, Sheikh, I thought we'll just start with that, inshallah, just a
Perfect.
Couple of more points, which is pains and calamities. Pains and calamities. And as we know, Allah Azza wa Jal, through the pains of the slaves and the ibad, and the calamities in their lives when they're patient and the likes, He expiates from the sins. So I'll just mention two quick narrations, and I'll suffice with the English as well, so we can move on to one other point, inshallah, which is that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no tiredness, exhaustion, worry, grief, distress, or harm befalls a believer in this world, not even a thorn that pricks him, except Allah expiates some of his sins. And the other hadith, subhanallah, I thought I'll bring from another angle, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was visited by one of the companions, who says that I said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, you have such a high fever. A high fever. He said, yes, I have as much of a fever as two men of you. Yeah. And we got to remember, brothers and sisters, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked who is the most tested and trialed, he said the prophets, and then the next best, then the next best. So when we see, it's not just that they were the most tested, or it's not just that they were the most tested, but they also were tested the hardest. They weren't just tested as, you know, more frequently than any of us, but they were tested with more severe tests than any of us as well. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, you have a high fever, or such a high fever. He said, yes, I have as much of a fever as two men of you. I said, is it because you will have a double reward? He said, yes, it is so. No Muslim is afflicted with any harm, even if it were the prick of a thorn, except that Allah expiates his sins because of that. Then he gives a beautiful example. He says, as a tree sheds its leaves, as a tree sheds its leaves. For can you imagine those leaves being like sins on us, for example? And then as we get more pain, more calamities, etc. in our lives, through that, it's like those sins are leaving us, just like those leaves, they fall off the
especially
tree.
Especially in autumn now, where trees shed their leaves.
We can
leaves.
See it. Yani, a practical example. For subhanallah, yani, that's also another reminder. And I know we probably all knew these narrations, and most of us heard of these narrations. But once again, as a reminder, it really benefits us, especially in this Ramadan, sicknesses or headaches or whatever it might be, fever, etc. But it's also a reminder not to purposely harm yourself.
No doubt. And this really it soothes the soul, Sheikh. Yeah. It brings tranquility to the heart. Yes, it's a test, but if you're patient and you're content and you anticipate the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even a higher level, you show shukr.
Definitely.
Which is really the status the ultimate, of the elite. Then you'll be rewarded for every single thing.
And when you, subhanAllah, you know, when you feel some pain, always look at those who are feeling more pain. And like there's a, you know, like a short story, if you'd like to say. I'm not going to mention the raw, and I forgot some of it myself because it was so long ago. But it's like, you know, the one that is, for example, running is looking at the one that is, you know, is driving. And the one that is walking is looking at the one that is running. Maybe he's not able to run. The one that is sitting, he's not able to even walk, is looking at the one walking, and he's desiring, I wish I could just walk. The walker is looking at the runner, I wish I could run. The runner is looking at the driver, I wish I had a car. For the one that's sitting, for example, is looking at the walker. The one that's lying down, he can't even sit up, is looking at the one that's walking. And the one that, for example, might be in a coma, but he is just wishing that I could just be able to just lie down but be awake. For always look at, subhanAllah, you know, those who are below you, as we know the hadith very well. But some of us might not look at it from that angle. For you're in pain, look at those who are more in pain than you and the likes. And also, on a side note as well, not just look at those who are below you, but also look at the prophets and messengers and righteous. And this, inshallah, as well, when you look at what they went through, this will, you know, make it easier on you. And that's one of the reasons, wallahu a'lam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he actually mentioned as well, he could have just answered the question with, you have such a high fever, which was like a question. He said, yes. Then he added something, and this was from the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would add, you know, when it's beneficial, when he says beneficial, he would add extra information. For he could have just said, yes, I do have such a high favor, but he added that I have as much favor as the men or as two of you. For that puts the believer at rest, subhanallah, that look, these are the prophets and messengers. For what am I going through? I'm complaining about a little fever, a little headache or something. And we see, subhanallah, so many around us and far and close going through what they're going through. For this is something why we should, you know, study as well, look into the things, and also remind ourselves by re-looking and re-reading into the biographies and the siyar and things like this.
And in our times, that's one of the best things really we should be doing, is reading about the life of the righteous and the pious, starting with the prophets and messengers, and then the sahaba, and then the righteous after them, especially from the first few generations, from the salaf. This really gives us a practical look into how to deal with calamities, how to deal with times of prosperity as well.
Exactly.
So it gives us the complete picture. And this is what our ulama and mashayikh have encouraged us to continue reading the lives of the righteous and pious.
Yeah, and even Allah Azza wa Jal to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, he says, for example, فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. You know, be patient just like أُولُو الْعَزْمِ. Yani the messengers of strong determination, of resolve, just like they were patient. For Allah Azza wa Jal reminds the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and advises him, be patient just like they were patient. The next point, inshallah, Sheikh, regarding the expiators is to say Ameen. Now, we start to get into slowly those which some might not know, or some might know but maybe haven't heard it in a while. So we've taken generally a lot of the heads of the matters, like we said, Tawbah and Istighfar and Tawheed and the likes. And now we take a bit more of those points which some might not have heard for a while, or, you know, some which we might need to refresh our memories with, which is saying Ameen. And first and foremost, the meaning of Ameen is Allahumma astajib, O Allah, answer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was teaching the companions, he says, La tubadiru al-imam. And I actually got this riwayah, this version, for a particular reason as well, which is especially for the brothers that are praying with the imams and a'imma, and also for the sisters in Ramadan, but generally the brothers, because there's a lot more brothers than there is sisters, for example. So not to beat the imam, not to beat the imam in the prayer. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La tubadiru al-imam. Don't go ahead, or don't beat the imam. He says, إِذَا كَبَّرَ فَكَبِّرُوا وَإِذَا قَالَ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ فَقُولُوا آمِينَ وَإِذَا رَكَعَ فَرْكَعُوا وَإِذَا قَالَ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ فَقُولُوا اللَّهُمَّ رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدِ. He says, do not go ahead of the imam, don't beat him. Like today, Sheikh, we see, you know, the imam's not even through the first taslim, he's saying as-salam, and the brother is already both ways right and left, done and dusted, he's exited the prayer. But we shouldn't beat the imam like this. And one of the sunan, actually, subhanAllah, is another point, which, since we're going into sujood so often with the imam, is that the companions would say that we would not even, our backs would not even bend, subhanAllah, they would not even bend until we saw the head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hit the floor or reach the floor. This is the way the companions they were regarding the prayer. So anyway, he says sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not go ahead of the imam, don't beat him, recite takbir when he recites it, and when he says nor of those who you should say, يعني غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, not like those who earn your wrath, and also not like those who are misguided. Obviously, at the end of Surah Al-Fatiha, you should say Ameen. Bow down when he bows down, and when he says Allah listens to those who praise him, say, oh Allah, to you be the praise. And then in the next hadith, so I wanted to put that one specifically because of the point about not beating the imam. And then we have that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that when the imam says, إذا قال الإمام غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين فقولوا آمين. mu'min, that when he says غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, like not the way of those who earned your anger, nor of those who went astray, say amin. And we said the Fatiha is a dua. We've already mentioned this before many times, that the Fatiha is a dua. So when you say amin at the end, Allahumma stajib, pretty much, oh Allah answer, you're asking Allah Azza wa Jal to answer and also make it for you the dua that the Imam made, which is the Fatiha. And that's why Ibn Hajar rahimahullah and many other ulama, the vast majority, they actually said that when someone says Ameen, it's like summarizing the detail. For the Imam gave the detail, which is the Fatiha and all the supplication. And then at the end, when we say Ameen, that's like a summary of everything, saying, Ya Allah, grant us that as well. He says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after that, like after we say Ameen, he told us one of the reasons. فَقُولُوا آمِن فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَقُولُوا آمِن. The angels, they also say آمِن. وَإِنَّ الْإِمَامَ يَقُولُوا آمِن. And the Imam says آمِن. فَمَنْ وَافَقَ تَأْمِينُهُ تَأْمِينَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Subhanallah, just this, you know, this action which we might do on, you know, without thinking. Subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, for the angels, they say Ameen, and the Imam says Ameen. If a person's Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the angels, all of his previous sins will be forgiven. All of his previous sins will be forgiven. It's very important, brothers and sisters, if you're praying behind the Imam, then say Ameen. And also, even if you're praying by yourself, as many of the ulama, they said in the loud prayers, you know, when you're reciting at home, say Isha, Fajr or Maghrib, even, you know, for the brothers, if they were to pray at home for whatever reason, then recite loudly, it's still the sunnah, and also say Ameen loudly, as the ulama have said. And the last point, inshallah, that we'll discuss is doing the wudu well. You know how many times, Sheikh, we speak about the wudu? And this is a very important point, and I brought forth two narrations regarding this. One of them is on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr, radiallahu anhumah. He says, رَجَعْنَا مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ مَكَّةَ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ حَتَّى إِذَا كُنَّ بِمَاءٍ بِالطَّرِيقِ تَعَجَّلَ قَوْمٌ عِنْدَ الْعَصْرِ فَتَوَضَّأُوا وَهُمْ عِجَالٌ. He says that when we returned from Mecca to Al-Madinah with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and when we came to some water, you know, on the way, some of the people, they rushed, they hurriedly performed wudu. And this is an advice to all the brothers and sisters, that if you have a problem with khushu' in prayer, a lot of the times look at what you're doing before the prayer. And you'll see, subhanallah, as we've previously mentioned as well, that there's a big problem with what you're doing before the prayer, and that, you know, moves on or follows on with the actual prayer itself. But how many times, Sheikh, remember, I think I was in Sharjah at the time we had the series, Sheikh, about the prayer, and we said some people coming with their pajamas and they come with their pajamas, for example, to pray, yes. And the pajamas are Simpsons or I don't know.
Oh, no. Yes. No, yes.
Do you remember colorful that one?
Cartoon characters. That's
that
right.
That series, I think it was a 10-part series we did. Yes. You can go back to that, brothers and sisters. It was called Common Mistakes in the Prayer. So, subhanAllah, the point is that if you have a problem in the, you know, with your khushu' in the prayer, a lot of the times, and often look back, and we even mentioned distractions. They got the football on, the Bulldogs versus I don't know who. They're playing in front of the TV. They're trying to get commercial. The best of both worlds.
After a try.
They're trying to get the best of both. They don't want to see the score, but they want to complete their Maghrib prayer.
Yeah, it's all in the preparation. Definitely. How you prepare yourself, yeah. Going to the prayer, and the wudu is part of it. And the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us that about it, going to the prayer. Don't rush to the prayer.
Exactly.
If you catch what you catch it.
Catch it.
And don't rush. Because if it does affect your khushu' and affects everybody else, especially if it's a brother who's not the fittest of people.
Yeah.
He comes huffing in and he's huffing and puffing.
Allahu
and then
alam,
there goes the, you know, the khushu' pretty much everyone near him.
And it's like you said, Sheikh, everything's in the preparation. Like for a test, for example, when one prepares for a test, once he gets to the test, it's either he's going to get to the test and say, Ya Allah, what are these questions?
What's happening?
What's going on? Because he didn't prepare. Or he's going to, inshallah, fly through. And like the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he mentioned the prayer, he said someone will go get a tenth of it, a ninth of it, an eighth of it, a seventh of it, to the end of the hadith regarding the reward. Fahiyah, subhanallah, Abdullah ibn Amr, radiallahu anhuma, he says that there were some who, you know, we're making wudu' very, very hastily and very hurriedly to perform wudu' for the Asr prayer. For he says here, فَانْتَهَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ, that when we reach them pretty much, he says, وَأَعْقَابُهُمْ تَلُوحُ لَمْ يَمَسَّهَا الْمَاءِ فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. He says that when we pretty much reach them, their heels were dry. No water had touched them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, woe to the heels because of the fire. Then he said, أَسْبِغُ الْوُضُوءِ, perform the wudu' well. Now, Now, I got that version to pair it with the next version of another hadith, and inshallah we'll end with this. And that's the hadith of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he actually made wudu. And now listen very carefully, my brothers and sisters, because this is the way that Uthman is describing. Uthman radiallahu anhu, as we know, the third caliph, he's describing the way of the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then he's going to add something to that, which really, subhanallah, if we were to implement, we will inshallah have our sins forgiven, because this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told us. So Uthman, you know, when he was making wudu, those around him, such as Humran and the likes, they say, "We saw Uthman making wudu." He says, "فَأَثْرَغَ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ ثَلَاثَةً ثُمَّ تَمَضْمَضَ وَاسْتَنْثَرَ ثُمَّ غَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ ثَلَاثَةً ثُمَّ غَسَلَ يَدَهُ الْيُمْنَى إِلَى الْمِرْفَقِ ثَلَاثَةً ثُمَّ غَسَلَ يَدَهُ الْيُسْرَى إِلَى الْمِرْفَقِ ثَلَاثَةً ثُمَّ مَسَحَ بِرَأْسِهِ ثُمَّ غَسَلَ رِجْلَهُ الْيُمْنَى ثَلَاثَةً ثُمَّ الْيُسْرَى ثَلَاثَةً ثُمَّ قَالَ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَوَضَّأَ نَحْوَ وُضُوءِ هَذَا." He says that, this is Humran, he says, "I saw Uthman performing wudu. He washed his hands 3 times, he rinsed his mouth and then washed his nose 3 times. He says, or by putting water in it and then blowing it out, he washed his face 3 times. He washed his right forearm up to the elbow 3 times. He washed his left arm up to the elbow 3 times. He then poured water on his head and smeared it with his he smeared his head with water. Then he says he washed his right foot 3 times, then his left foot 3 times. Then he said, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam making wudu the way I just made wudu." Then he says, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "من توضأ وضوءي هذا ثم يصلي ركعتين لا يحدث نفسه فيهما بشيء إلا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه." So he says, "من توضأ وضوءي هذا, whoever makes the wudu like this present wudu of mine, ثم يصلي ركعتين, and then he prays 2 units of prayer, لا يحدث نفسه فيهما بشيء, he doesn't pretty much, you know, speak to himself about anything." Meaning, some of the ulama, they said, he doesn't think about anything of the world, of the worldly gains, the dunya and the likes. He solely focuses on the prayer and the likes. He says that لا يحدث نفسه فيهما بشيء, that he doesn't, you know, think of these worldly things and the likes. He says, إلا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه, except that he will have his sins forgiven. And lastly, regarding the wudu as well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "إذا توضأ العبد المؤمن فمضمض خرجت الخطايا من فيه وإذا استنثر خرجت الخطايا من أنفه فإذا غسل وجهه خرجت الخطايا من وجهه حتى تخرج من تحت أشفار عينيه فإذا غسل يديه خرجت الخطايا من تحت أظفار يديه فإذا مسح برأسه خرجت الخطايا من رأسه حتى تخرج من أذنيه فإذا غسل رجليه خرجت الخطايا من رجليه حتى تخرج من تحت أظفار رجليه ثم كان مشي إلى المسجد وصلاته نافلة له." He says sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is an authentic narration, that when a believer performs wudu, rinses his mouth, the sins go out from his mouth. When he sniffs water up, the sins go out from his nose. When he washes his face, the sins go out from his face, so that they even go from under his eyelashes. That when he washes his hands, the sins go out from his hands, so that they go from under his fingernails. When he wipes his head, the sins go out from his head, so that they go out from his ears. And when he washes his feet, the sins go out from his feet, so that they go out from under his toenails. Then he's walking to the mosque, and his prayer will provide extra blessings for him. So these are great narrations, really, that we should contemplate upon and have in our intention when we make wudu and perform these great actions, for these are indeed great expiators.
Jazakallah khair, Adi Sheikh. We thank you for being with us, especially since you weren't feeling too well. May Allah give you a quick recovery. Amen. And a full recovery.
Amen.
And bless you and your family in this world and the next.
Amen.
I'd like to thank our tech team and also all those brothers and sisters who tuned in tonight. And I'd like to remind our brothers and sisters that we will be on 107.9 FM until the end of Ramadan, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So please spread the word. And for those out of Sydney, you can tune in on our app wherever you may be, 24/7, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And if you miss out on any of our original programming that you're watching now, you can watch them on Al Bayan Radio Australia YouTube, and also our podcast channels on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Podbean, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you find your podcast. Barakallahu feekum. And until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.